I got thinking about the new year coming. And there's a lot in this chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. There's a lot of great truth in this Psalms 37. And if you apply it to your life, it could really help you in the year of 2011. Let me see me wear my coat today. So, preacher wore a coat. I'm taking it off. Too hot. And what we're going to do tonight, I'll probably do about seven verses or so. I'm just going to do what they call expository preaching. I wrote a few notes, but I just go verse by verse. Let's read. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We'll do the first seven verses. This is a tremendous chapter. I want to challenge you to read it tonight before you go to bed. It's a great little chapter in the Bible that would really encourage you for the things of God. Notice what it says in verse 1 of chapter 37 of Psalms. Fret not. Just that alone is good for everybody. How many of us all fret? We do, boy. Fret not, and preacher does too. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he, the Lord, shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgments as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Let me read a couple more verses. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself to any wise do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. I like that. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yet thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day coming. Drop down to verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Look at verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. I like that. Look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. How many see that? But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off and shall see it. Verse 37, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And that's what everybody wants. By the way, even Israel, the nation that God formed, they want peace. And many times they're going and they're giving up things just so they can try to get peace. By the way, the world will never know peace till the Prince of Peace, Christ, comes back. And he is coming back. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. The greatest thing I can tell anyone, trust in the Lord. I don't care what's going on outside. I don't care what there's. Just trust the Lord. He'll take you to the other side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for putting this scripture in my heart today. My heart was warmed when I read through the passages, and I just felt this is what I needed to do today. And Lord, I wrote a few thoughts down, but Lord, just put Holy Spirit, take over and fill me with everything God would have me to say. And I just want to be a blessing to every person here tonight. Help me to be a blessing. May your name be magnified, and may we just glory in the things of God. Help us to get some truth today to help our lives as we walk daily with you. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's look at the first verse, and I'll go for about 20 minutes and see where we're at. Look what it says in that first verse. Fret not thyself. Just that alone. Fret not thyself. Just that alone. Because, you know, most times we're fretting about it's too hot, too cold. Hello. Things are just not right the way we want them. We fret over a lot of things. And by the way, we fret when we shouldn't be fretting. But notice what he's saying here. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, I notice many times we get worked up over the evildoers. I know I do. I get sick of those liberals sometimes and people are trying to destroy our country. I really do. I don't care who they are. I don't care. No power. I mean, anyone that's trying to destroy America or destroying the foundation of God, it bothers me. And many times, we'll even have friends that, or maybe we have people that we know, and it seems like they do a bunch of stuff, and boy, it just pulls your, what the kids say, it pulls my chain. I think that's what they say, or it gets me aggravated. And you say, boy, and we say, God, why do they get away with that? How many of you ever had that thought? And we see those people that are doing bad and evil, and it seems like they're prospering. And we're trying to walk a close walk with the Lord. By the way, none of us are perfect. We never will be till Jesus comes. I'm glad we have a perfect standing with God because he cleansed us from all our sin, past, present, and future. But as far as we still got the flesh, we sin every day of our life. And the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But many times we get worked up over evildoers. Many times we become envious. Look at this, it says there, be thou envious against the workers. In other words, neither be thou envious. We get envious. We see the things that they do, and we know it's wrong, and we know it's against God's holy word, yet it seems like they're not receiving no judgment. Like, it's like a little kid. They're getting away with it. Our kids come and say, Mommy, Lukey did this. They want us to spank them. Now, when they do bad, they don't want Lukey to tell on them. Hello? We're always going, I want, God, get them now. Oh, get them, spank them, God. How many know what I'm talking about? But of course, when we do bad, we say, Lord, now take it easy. It was a mistake. How many can say amen with me? And yet we see them doing things and no judgment. And you say, boy, man, why aren't these people getting judged for that sin? Man, I do one small thing and I get in trouble. Hello? And God's saying, hey, forget about those people. Don't even put your eyes on those people. Just put your eyes on me. Don't worry about what they're doing wrong. Just worry about what you're doing. But I know that this, sometimes we may see them even prosper. That's what really pulls you. Yeah. You know, you're having a hard time making the house payment or the gas bill, and you're trying to make, man, can I make this payment this month? And you see these people living for the devil, and they got all kinds of money, and they seem like they're real happy. How many know what I'm talking about? You say, man, God, where's the balance here? Where's the scales? Where's the equal justice? You're right, Billy. So is Sunday, too. Sunday's coming. Amen? Easter. But payday is coming, Billy. Listen, I got this. Here's a question I wrote down. We say, and here's what we do. Lord, why are you letting them get away with those things? Just like our kids came to us. Just like my grandkids still come. Hello? People are smart because you know you do it. Lord, why are you letting them get away with this? Then we say, Lord, why are they prospering? And they're doing those evil things and they don't have separate lives. We got separate lives. They don't live for you. We live for you. It appears that they're doing real well. And we're not doing as good as them, and they're doing bad. Hello? Hello? We say, Lord, we don't think this is right. Yep.
Good one, John. They're living evil and they're prospering, and we do good and we're not prospering. Should I live like the devil? Nope. Let me say this to you. First of all, not all the appearance of people that appear that they're doing well are actually a true picture. Most people that you think many times they're putting on a front. Many rich and famous, most of them are miserable. That's why you see a lot of suicides. That's why you see the rich and famous. Most of them don't even get. They don't stay married for even a year. They can't stay happy with one person. Hello? I got here. Many times, if you could look beyond that fake smile and that laughter, you'd find that they're really great pretenders. And not only that, they are lonely, they are hurting people, and they're miserable with their life. Are you still with me? We're still on verse 1 and 2. Look, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be the envious. We envy people sometimes because we get mad because it appears. Look up here, church. It appears that they're doing better than us, yet they live for the devil, and we're trying to live for God, and we get mad. We say, like those little, why did they get the spanking, God? Why did they get the spanking? Like my little Tippy. He threw my purse, Grandpa. Grandma, look at he threw my. There's a scratch on it. I like what Grandma does. She takes a little, today she just wiped us. It's all gone. That's what God does for us, by the way. Let me just take care of that. It's all gone. Stay with me. Stay with me. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15 about the people that are doing evil. The wicked, the way of the transgressor is hard. You might think that they're really having a glamorous life and a lot of fun. The way of that transgressor is hard. Those people out there, they're doing evil things, and you know they're living, they're selling their drugs and doing all kinds of stuff. And you think, boy, they got the life. No, they don't. They have a miserable life. They live in these big famous houses, and they got all these Rolls Royce, and they got servants. And you say, oh, man, what? And they live with, no, you don't understand. Those people are miserable. Elvis Presley, with all his money, died as a man that was of sorrow. Yeah? How many are still with me? And God says, listen, don't look at all those different people. Look what it says in verse 2. First, he said, don't fret about them. And then he says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. He said, they're only going to be here for a short time. Are you with me? Look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Brother Mark, I will tell you right now, I don't know what I'm going to accomplish in this life, but I know one thing. I've got an eternal promise from God. I'm going to go to heaven. I got a mansion in glory. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to go to a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. I don't know about you, Brother Bobby, but I'm excited about that. I'm going to turn this old body in and get a brand new one. I'm going to live forever. And once we get there, Betty, we're never going to say goodbye to any of our loved ones. Plus, I'm going to be with Jesus for eternity, not just for a few days. Are you still with me? And then I thought of this, too. And the reason we get mad sometimes, they say, well, why aren't they getting judged right now? Billy had it. You had it, Billy. Their judgment's coming later. The reason they don't receive judgment and chastisement, many of these people, is at this time because they're not God's children. Hebrews 12:6-7 say, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receive." Verse 7, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he with the father chasteneth not?" In other words, he said, if you're a son, I'm going to spank you. Now, I don't spank somebody else's kids because they're not mine. Are you with me? And God says, hey, let me get a teenager. He goes, duh. Hello? They're not getting spanked right now because did it ever occur to you? They're not my kids. Oh, they're going to get judgment because for the wages of sin is what? Yeah. And so they're going to get judgment. They're just not getting it right now. But Ruthie, let me and you or one of the children of God mess up. Brother Mark, we know right away. And by the way, you don't have to tell a Christian when they're I bet he's getting chastised. I'm amazed at Christians sometimes. Boy, he must have really did something bad for him to get that. You know what? You don't know what God's doing. And by the way, don't worry about what God's doing in someone else's life. Just worry about your own life. We got enough to take care of just ourselves. Listen, we're all a basket case, man. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that. Yeah, but you do some other things that the other guy don't do. I don't drink alcohol, but I eat too much pizza. You can tell I eat too much pizza, too much candy, too much chocolate, too much cake, cookies. I love them. If you're going to go, what a way to go. But I countered that today. I went down the drugstore and bought some hydroxy pills. They're supposed to make me lose weight. After we get done with the Christmas and stuff, I'm going to start taking them. Amen? $10 off. And if it don't work, I'll blame it on them and not me. Because we're always looking for someone to blame. Hello? Psalms 37:2 says, God says, don't fret over those people because they shall soon be cut down. They're just getting away with it for a short time. Their end is destruction. Don't let those people distract. Look up here. And I have to watch it myself, Brother Mark. Sometimes we let people distract us and discourage us from serving God. Because if they can get my mind off of serving Christ, if they can get my attention from doing the work of God and on what they're doing, then Satan's won the battle. I'm supposed to focus on the Lord and let the Lord take care of that rest of it. The Bible says, love not the world nor the things in the world. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not. Hello? And sometimes we just get caught up in a lot of things we ought not get caught up in. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Don't worry about all this stuff, man. And you know what, D? How many gray hairs and how many sleepless nights when we fret over stuff that, first of all, we can't change it anyways. Most of the stuff we fret over, we can't change it anyways. And it just affects us, puts a hardship on us, right? And really, where does it all lie at? We got to trust the Lord. So look at verse 3. So, okay, you children of God, quit your fretting, quit your fussing, quit your feuding, and just trust in the Lord. And do good. Forget about those other. Just you do good. Trust in God to take care of things. Forget about the people. Get your eye off and your mind off those people. And get your mind and eyes on Christ. Amen. Trust the Lord. Put your life in God's hands. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? And he just says, do good. One great preacher said, do good till the stars fall and still keep doing good. Do good, no matter what, no matter what you see, how people doing evil may appear, don't worry about those people. Do good. I shared this with you last week. Some lady called Rosie from Toledo the other, and told us about a fellow who used to serve the Lord. And he'd been in church for years now. And this lady told Rosie that he's doing real good now, almost a millionaire. And Rosie said, I don't understand it, preacher. We serve God all, and we And yet we never get money to give people and stuff. Yet this guy, you know, and by the way, he's the one that led Brother Dave to Christ. Just that alone, having Pastor Dave is a blessing. If he didn't do anything again. Amen? And was right with me when I started the storefront. Was him and his family were a vital, I mean, a key family. I mean, a pillar in the church at the time. And they got mad after a while and dropped out and they ain't been in church. And now they said, so ladies, I told Rose, I said, you know, sometimes this lady exaggerates too. So, you know, don't take it all to the bank sometimes what people tell you. And here, Rosie, for 40 solid years, she's put up with me, just alone putting up with me. I mean, that's great reward in heaven. Debbie's putting up with you, Rod, so don't, you know. And you guys, your wives are putting up with you. They get a reward. I think God's got a special reward to them, just Betty, just for putting up with us and going through all the heartache and the sorrow and the misery and the poverty and everything else we do, because preachers and we're strange people. We're from out of this world sometimes. And here she has labored and worked. Well, you know how hard Rosie works. I mean, she works her bones. I mean, I don't know how she does it sometimes. She really just goes and goes and goes. And sometimes she works so hard, it tires me out just to watch her. And she says, Rich, why? I said, don't worry about it. I said, first of all, maybe he's not even a child of God. Second of all, it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord if he... So what? I said, Rose, when you get to heaven, God's going to reward you. And I said, what you're going to get is for eternity. I mean, you know, we're so worried about this little walk of pilgrimage that we have on this earth, just a few years. Grandpa Lemley was 90-some years old when he died. Little Mary was 94. I believe Little Mary was 94. And I could name, and they're great, and they walk with the Lord. But that's not where the blessing's going to be. The blessing is when they got out of eternity. Look at Little Mary Reinhardt, how she gave to God the widow's mite. Yet she gave God everything she had. What do you think God's going to do for her? I mean, Little Mary gave us that house. I brought Jerry Cross out to try to sell it. He said, preacher, if this is not the worst house I ever saw, it's right there with it. He said, this house is condemned. Praise the Lord, Brother Ray. God kept that house up for Little Mary. It was a castle for her. How many are still with me? And God kept those, and David kept that old furnace going, cleaning out, and those, Brother Wade, all those, Freddie and them, they kept all that. Remember that little Sears pot stove? Remember her and her husband built that in 1950. I mean, that's how she heated her house, that and the stove that we gave her. Hello? I mean, but Little Mary was as happy, she didn't have a penny in the bank. But she was one of the richest ladies in the world. How many are seeing what he's trying to show us here? Amen. See, it's not money that makes you rich. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Amen. It's what the Lord makes you rich. That scripture over in Corinthians 8:9 says, Christ became poor that we might become rich. He's not talking about money there. We're rich in him. We're rich in eternity. I mean, can you imagine... Of course, Little Mary didn't care. Little Mary, she thought she was already in heaven, that little tiny house with no foundation. You could see the dirt right. I mean, and Little Mary thought she was in heaven right there. Can you imagine what Little Mary now? Oh, you'd give her a little 95-cent thing from Walmart, and she'd go, oh, it's like I gave her a bar of gold, you know? Like, you gave me a bar of gold, I'd go, oh, whoa, $1,400 an ounce, whoa. You give Little Mary a little 98-cent ornament from Walmart with a little angel or something, she'd go, oh. Sometimes I wonder if we have it all right. How many are still with me? We've got to get ourselves focused right. We have, and it's hard to get your eyes off the world, but boy, if we can just focus on the Lord and the things of God, the world becomes dim. Are you with me? Betty, I don't think you and John were here when little Mary Reinhart, she was the greatest little lady that ever walked the face of the earth. And we love her. I loved her beyond. She was like a second mother to me, and we loved her beyond measure, me and Rosie. We took care of her and loved her, and just anything she needed, we always wanted to be there for her. But we just loved her to death. And I'll never forget little Mary. How many remember little Mary? Amen. Well, can you imagine the mansion she's going to have in heaven? Can you imagine the joy that she had here, and now even the greater joy she has in heaven? Little Mary didn't get cheated out of nothing. But she laid up a lot of eternity, Billy. See, even if you live to be 100 years old, that's a short time compared to eternity. Hello? I mean, we're working on eternity, man. And I told Rose, I said, Rose, you're going to have so much in heaven because you served God and put up with me and gave everything to God that you had. I said, honey, you're going to get blessings throughout eternity. And I said, I'd rather have things out in eternity than I would here. That's why the Bible says, what's that scripture in Matthew? Treasure, Matthew 6, I think it is. Don't treasure up worthy vessels that people can steal and rust. And, we worry about stuff sometimes like that. Don't worry about stuff like that. Lay up treasures in heaven. That's what little Mary did. Amen? Notice in the scripture, I put in verse 3, forget about the people. Get your eye off and mind off those people and get your mind and eyes on Christ. That's why it says in Colossians, set your affections on things above. 3:1. I put trust in the Lord. Put your life in God's hands. Put your life in God's hands. No matter what's, I put just, Jesus said, just follow me, trust me, and do good. You know why it's important to do good? Doesn't get you to heaven. But you know there's a real good reason why to do good. Because when we obey, we get closer to God. When we disobey, we get farther from God. It breaks our fellowship. For instance, Jesus is the Son of God. And the closer I get to the Son, the warmer I feel. The farther away I get from the Son, the colder I get. Are you with me? And every time I say no, and every time I say I don't care what God says, and every time I say no, I'm not going to do that, God, I just keep breaking that fellowship. I just keep breaking that warmth, that walk with Him. And then no wonder I don't ever get that great peace and joy that He talks about in that abundant life, John 10:10. We lose out on the abundant life because we don't want to surrender and say, Lord, I'll follow you no matter what. Amen? So don't fret over the world. Trust the Lord and don't trust in the world to take care of you. Trust the Lord to take care of you, and He will. Look what it says there in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, God says, you don't have to worry about some government taking care of you. I'll take care of you. God says, I'll take care of you. It's a promise from God if we'll just trust in Him. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What a great verse. Delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, get all caught up in the things of God. Oh, Lord, I just want to do what you want. Lord, I want to say what you want me to say. I want to think what you want me to think. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I just want everything about me. I want it all be about you. Delight thyself in the Lord. Get caught up in the things of God. Trust God to supply everything for you and let him guide your life. Let God give you the desires of your heart. By the way, if you get caught up in the Lord, and I know you do, that's one man I really believe, Sergeant Kataver. I was talking to Bobby today, how I thank God for you and how you love the Lord. And when you look up here, when you start delighting in the Lord, did you know something? He'll give you desires of your heart. But did you ever know something? When I get caught up in the Lord, my desires change drastically. When I get caught up in the Lord, my desires are more for souls being saved. My desires are more about winning scriptures, learning scriptures. My desire is more on the things of God and for heaven instead of worldly things. You ever notice that? You say, well, God, I don't think, we say, boy, I really wanted that, I really want. When we get caught up in the world, we have fleshly desires. And that's why we let and that's when our life goes reckless. And that's when we make a lot of bad judgments. Because the world takes us away from what God really wants. Delight thyself in the Lord. Get caught up in him. By the way, God will give us our desires if we delight in him. Then verse 5. Look what it says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. I like that. In other words, give God complete control of your life. Give God complete control of your life. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I haven't always done it, but I've tried to, Mark. I've always tried to be led of God in things I do. I'm not trying to act super spiritual to you, but I've tried. And as far as where my ministry has always led me, I've always tried to commit, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. If you'll commit, here's the thing. When you commit unto the Lord, say, I've got no vote in the matter. You tell me what you want and I'll do it. Hello? Commit thy way unto the Lord. And in other words, give God complete control of your life. In all thy ways acknowledge, he shall direct thy paths. Verse 6, notice verse 6. If you'll commit and trust in him and delight in him and fret not, here's what happens. If you don't fret, if you'll trust and you'll delight and you'll commit, look what happens in verse 6. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. In other words, your life will shine bright for Christ. If you'll do that, in other words, God will get glory from your life. How many want God to get glory from your life? How many want God to make your life count for him? All right? You want God to make your life count for him? Then don't fret over those evildoers. Verse 3, trust in him. Verse 4, delight in him. Verse 5, commit unto him. And if you do all those, watch out. God will that means you've submitted your life unto God, and that means God says, okay, I can use you. There's a vessel I can use. I'm not talented. Don't have to be. God proved it with a guy like me, a street kid. I ain't talented. For 40 years, I've been preaching. Can you believe that? It's amazing. You don't have to have talent. You just need to commit. All to Jesus, I surrender. Amen? You just bring what you got, and he'll take what you got, and he'll make something from it. Then look at verse 7, and we'll probably close with verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Boy, that's hard for me. Bobby, it's hard for me to rest in the Lord. Joshy, I want it right now. We live in an instant world, instant, you know, fast lane. We want the fast lane, go to McDonald's, get the happy meal real quick, or the morning is the best sandwich you can get there is a sausage muffin egg. You know, that is a tremendous. How many of you ever had sausage muffin egg? Oh, I love that. Love that sausage muffin egg. You know, I just drive up, don't have to cook it. I mean, bam, cup of coffee, senior citizen discount, amen. And man, it's so great. Like, everything's instant. We live in an instant world. I mean, we want it all to happen right now. I must send out vibes. It's scary. I'm not lying to you, D. I'll be in stores and I won't even say a word. And people say, go in front of me. It happens all the time. I'm not lying. And I'll say, Rosie, why are those people doing that? She said, they can see that you don't want to wait. They'll say, no, you go. I insist that you go ahead of me. But I've got a whole basket. You only got, no, you go ahead. We're like that guy I prayed, Lord, give me patience, but hurry up, I can't wait. How many say amen to that? Rest in the Lord. We want everything in our life to happen right now. Let God bring it to pass, what he wants to do in your life, in his time, and in his way. I'm going to close with this. I've got two more pages. I'm going to talk to you straight from my heart, and then we'll go. You don't know how bad I want to see the Lord build a building out there on Infirmary Row. And I know God told me, Bobby, when we were sitting at that table that day getting ready to get that a real low loan from the government, 2.3 or 1.3, it was a real low percentage. We're going to borrow $1.3 million. And God said to me, there wasn't a voice that came down and said, Pastor Skyver, what are you doing? No, it didn't. There was no voice. And those people tell you they hear those things, they might eat too many peanut butter sandwiches before I went to bed. But I did hear God speak in my heart. And he said, don't borrow the money. I'll supply it to you. Why don't you trust me? He said, don't borrow. And I'd love to see that happen in my life. And I don't know if I'm going to see it. And sometimes I get disappointed. Sometimes I get downright mad to be, Arlene, sometimes I get mad. I even pout to God. Hey, what's the holdup up there? If I was God, I'd have killed me by now. I would have killed me. I said, I'm gonna mop you. I'm gonna smack you out. But I know, I don't care if someone put a gun to my head. I know what God told me that day. He said, you don't borrow money. By the way, I'm glad we didn't borrow the money. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't. At least what we have, we own. Yep. And I would love to have a brand new building out there, but I don't want it out there until it's paid for. And then all the whole community and people, thousands of people know about it. There's hardly a day goes by in my life that someone don't come up to me, hey preacher, did you get that building built yet? Janet Esposito was with her husband right before Christmas. They were ringing that salvation bell at Giant Eagle. Hey preacher, you got that building up yet? I said, not yet. I'm waiting on God to give us the money. We're not gonna borrow no money. I'm waiting for the miracle. And I don't know if I'm going to see it or not. I hope I get to see it. I'd be the happiest man in the world. Matter of fact, I don't want to scare you, but if I could see that, I wouldn't care if I died the next day. If I could see it, honest to God.
If I could just see it go up out there, the dream that God gave me. David could take it on with the younger guys, and you could do a lot of great things out there. If I could just see that, I'd be happy. But the Bible says, wait on him. God's got a time. I know I did right by not borrowing the money. You did right by following your preacher. You stood with me. Thank you for standing with me. It's been over 5 years. We're still here. I would to God we had it out there. But I know one thing. God's on the throne.
That's right.
Said, wait patiently. God's going to do something in his time, in his own way.
Amen.
And you know what, Johnny? I don't know how he's going to do it. And I don't know when he's going to do it. I just know him in my heart, he told me he would do it. And I know he told me he don't lie. And I know that God told me that. He did tell me that. Whether anyone believes me or not, he told me. And I'll never change. If I don't see it, I still want you to know he told me that. Somebody will see it. You'll see a miracle if you trust God. Because God can do the miracles.
Amen.
He really can. We just got to not try to get ahead of God. And I'm a guy that doesn't like to wait. I like just to get right in. We were eating at Cracker Barrel one day. A whole bunch of us went to Cracker Barrel. It was on a Sunday, Josh. And Mac and Mary came. Oh, they were lined right up to the door. I mean, there were so many people, it was unbelievable. I didn't know everybody came around us. They must have heard that we were coming. Because they know I don't like to wait. And boy, I waited too. Oh, it killed me. Oh. We got in there, and this one couple got up, Betty, and there was a couple that had a little table too. And I saw Mac. They would have been lucky to get in there by 3 or 4 to eat. And those waitresses all know me because me and Josh own a fourth of the business there in Ridgetown. We're stockholders there. Oh, would to God I had stock in that place. And I told that waitress, I said, hey, my deacon and his wife are standing out there right now, and they're senior citizens, and I want them to have that table right now. They went right up, they said, where are they at? We'll get them. And they went and got him. Mac was, you remember that, Mac? He was, oh, preacher. I said, no, just listen to me. I'm the mafia preacher. We do anything we want. I own this stinking place. And all during the time Mac was eating, he was worried someone was going to get mad. I said, Mac, calm down. We own this place. You're not going to wait. I don't like people waiting. I don't like to wait. I walked in there one time, and somebody was in that round table where I always sat. And I literally told the people, you're in my table. Rosie, I said, no, you really are in my table. I said, you're in my table. I hope you enjoy. I hope you get off pretty soon because you're in my stinking table. It's the first one on the right when you come in, that round one. They look, okay. And you know what, though? You can't believe how fast another table opened up for me. The waitress said, preacher, we've got you one. We found you another one, preacher. What I'm trying to say is this. The Bible says, wait patiently on the Lord. Sometimes it's not easy to wait. But when God wants us to wait, it's a good wait. And it's the right wait. And it's the right thing at the right time. Joseph was 17 years old when he was thrown in that pit. If you'll notice, when he got thrown out of jail and made second the prime minister, he was second by Pharaoh. He was 30 years old. He waited 13 hard years. From 17 to 30 is 13 years. He waited 13 years to be put on the throne. And he went through a lot before he got there. And he never quit. And he never gave up.
And he always trusted God. And he committed his life to Christ. And he didn't fret over the evildoers. And then he said, at the end, he told his brother, God meant it for good. Don't get shook up when something doesn't happen what you want to happen right away. God, he doesn't make any mistakes. Wait patiently on the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us in these coming days of our life. Help us not to fret. Help us not to, Lord, help us to trust you and to commit our life to you. Help us to acknowledge and just to give everything to you, Father. Help us to wait patiently. Lord, sometimes it's some hardships in our life that we don't enjoy going through. But Lord, there's a purpose for everything. And Romans 8:28, still in the Bible. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And Father, I'm just pray that as we journey through this life, help us to think about Psalms 37. Help us to read Psalms 37 and to see the great truth that we can get from it to help our daily walk. Thank you for Deborah's birthday. Oh, how we were blessed because she was born. Give her many more and bless her and Rod and the kids. And Lord, just continue to use their lives for the glory of God. Help us now, Father, as we look to a new year. Help us to look with excitement and joy and patience. I pray in Christ's name. I wonder if our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Before we go home tonight, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior. And if I die, I'd go to heaven. I'm positive I'm saved. If I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm really sure. Thank you. May put them down. Everyone raised their hand. Praise God. Maybe you're a Christian here tonight, and maybe you're discouraged. It's a hard way. It's not easy. Life's tough. It's tough on the lost, but it's tough on saved people too. I'm just glad we got the Lord to help us on our way. And you just say, preacher, pray for me. I'm going through some challenges in my life. Would you ask God to help me through the challenges? Pray for anyone like that? Yes, sir. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes. Yes, the Lord sees that hand. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands on both sides. More than that, you saw all the hearts of every man and woman. God, come down. Please help them. Be their Jehovah Jireh that the Lord sees and the Lord provides. Be their provision, whatever they need. Even if it's patience. And encourage them. And come down, Lord, and put your arms around them and hug them and hold them. And may they feel the warmth of God. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with Mrs. DeSelms. She's in the hospital in Arizona right now. I pray that you would touch her body and strengthen it. Bless her son who loves her so dearly. Help her, Father. Pray for Linda McDaniel that you'll comfort her heart over the loss of her daddy. I've lost my dad. I know the hurt. I lost my mama. I know the hurt. Help her, Father. It's a hard thing to go through. Love her and Ray, the kids. Give her that extra encouragement that she needs to face the next day. Bless our people tonight. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand. We'll sing one verse. If you'd like to come and pray for any reason, you come. Brother Mark, what page are you on? 401. You just come right now. If God wants you to come, you want to come and just pray, you come right now. That's right. You just come. That's right. If you're listening by way of the internet, we at Bethel Baptist Church want you to know that we love you and we care about you, and Christ cares. And right this time, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you could just ask Christ to come in your heart and save you, and He would. He loves you. He died for you. He rose that third day, and He's coming back. He loves you so much. Look to Him tonight. Wasn't no accident you turned the computer on. Wasn't no accident you came to the church on the rise. It's not no accident you're listening to this particular sermon. Just commit your life to Him right now, and He'll help you. May God bless you.
People said.